Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, on this Friday, the 13th of November. Well, it's not going to be a bad luck day. It's going to be a good luck day. I know all of you out there are going to have a great day. So this is just a bunch of bunk, but we're not going to put too much emphasis on that. It's just another day, but it's going to be a good day. I want to thank all of you who have let me know how much you appreciate the show that I'm doing. It does help me to continue to do this for you, because if I don't hear back from you and no one calls and no one writes, then I'm not really sure I'm getting through to anybody, and I want to. That's my purpose, but I don't want to waste my time when I could be interviewing other people. So please continue to let me know that you're listening, and I really hope that you are getting help. Also, to remind you, there is a Facebook page called Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. And I'm trying to think, is it Narcissistic Abuse? I think it's Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. You can go to my website, randygfine.com, and everything will link you there. But I would love for you to become a follower, and you can become part of the support group. So the more the merrier. Let me help you. Let's help others. And you know about this show that I do on the second Friday of every month. And I want you to know that I am writing the Bible on Narcissistic Personality Disorder Abuse. I'm in the middle of writing it. It's going to take me a while, but once this book comes out, it will be the most comprehensive book available on this topic. It'll be a great resource for all of you. And I am welcoming you to send me stories. I want to include some real stories in this book. So you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, and at the top just put story for show, story for book, or something like that. And also include a little note saying that you authorize me to use this. So I do welcome that information. I would love to hear your stories, and I will try to use them as much as possible. If you'd like to call into today's show, I will be answering your questions, and the number is 424-220-1801. But I did have three people who have written to me with their questions and asked me to please answer them on air. So that's what I'm going to do with my time today. The first question is from someone with the first initial M. And this is what M says. In 2014, I researched and found out that my mom has always had NPD, and I was one of the scapegoats. She's always been hypercritical of my looks, my clothes, my hair, my purchases, my house, and I could never understand why. I have very mixed emotions with my parents and my families. They are very conditional with their love. They never give without somehow expecting or demanding something from me in the future. They love planning last-minute parties and always expect us to come and act like it's the end of the world if we don't come. In the past, my partner and I would always just go along with everything they did or said or planned. Sometimes I feel guilty pulling away from my brothers and sisters, but I don't know what else to do because I think they listen and believe everything my mom might say about me. Plus, I don't want to talk about mom with them because I'm learning how to stop being the, air quote, truth teller. I've been going to counseling for a little over a year now, and I feel much better when dealing with her, and always am grateful that she could be worse. Sometimes I feel lonely, even though I know I'm dealing with them in a healthy way. My drug-addicted brother just moved back into town and is a little challenging because he hasn't been here for all these recent changes. I think I've been handling them better recently. Do you have any helpful hints dealing with them or my mom? I love them and don't want to cut them out of my life completely. Thanks for your help. Well, okay. There are ways that you can continue to stay in the life of your family. But the first thing that has to happen is that you have to protect yourself. If you don't protect yourself, no one else will. You cannot let your life be defined by others. And so the most important thing to do here is to create boundaries that cannot be crossed. And to let your family know, and that's a really hard thing to do because when you have a parent who has NPD, they seem like they're the great and powerful Oz, but they're not. They're really just a small little person behind a curtain. But it's very intimidating to go to this person and confront them. But what you're confronting them on is not about their behavior. It's what you will and will not tolerate. And they need to know this. And they need to understand that in order to have this relationship with you, they have to follow your boundaries. And that if they cross those boundaries, they cannot have you in their life. And that's just the way it is. Now, you can have limited contact and do that by short visits, short phone calls. So if you go over there, it has to be very limited amounts of time. And if you feel that they start to do anything that's crossing those boundaries, you have to say, okay, well, I'm going now. That sends a really clear message if you continue to do this over and over that they can't get away with that with you. As far as phone calls go, if you want to call, call. But it must be you calling, not answering their calls. So if they call, let it go to a message. You call them back. You must be the one in charge here. And you must limit that amount of time that you're on the phone with your parents because inevitably it's going to morph into abuse. Somehow they're going to start using the old guilt trips or whatever they use. And you just have to make it very short and sweet. Hi, just calling to check on you. How's everything doing? Okay, well, I have to go now, but just wanted to see how you're doing. That kind of phone call, very, very just basic, no emotion, no really real caring or wanting to hear their stories or hear how anything's going. You can't let them get away with that. You said in this letter that you feel guilty pulling away from your brothers and sisters, but you don't know what else to do because you think they listen and believe to everything your mother might say about you. Well, doesn't surprise me that you feel guilty because you've been made to feel guilty. That's what pathological narcissistic parents do to us. They control us through guilt. They make us feel guilty about everything we do. But you're not doing anything wrong. You are just protecting yourself. And And avoiding the judgment is, it cannot be done. You will be judged. If you have brothers and sisters who are not in the healing path of this, who are not aware of what your mother is actually doing, what the dynamics of these relationships are, they are going to judge you. They're going to throw everything at you. They're going to tell you the Ten Commandments says you have to be good to mom, or mom's aging and you have to be good to mom. She's not going to be around that much longer. Look at all the things she did to you. They are going to lay those guilt trips on you. But you have to know that it is not your fault. What you're doing, whatever you decide to do, however you decide to handle this, whatever's comfortable for you, you are only doing this to protect yourself. And no one else is going to step up and protect you. So either you can live your life defined by these dysfunctional people, or you can live your life defined by you. And that means not expecting others to agree with you, not expecting others to, not feeling like you have to bend in order to accommodate these people. That's not what it's about. You spent your entire life doing that. Now it's time for you. You realize that this has been very dysfunctional. You realize that you are wounded a great deal as a result of it. You have done nothing wrong. You have no reason to feel guilty. You are only trying to protect yourself. So, to answer your question, you do not have to cut them out of your life completely, but you must have very defined boundaries, and don't let them step one toe over that boundary line. If you do, you'll lose all that you gain. And this is like tough love. It's not easy to do, but it is all you can do if you want to protect yourself. So I hope that helps answer your question, and you can write to me if it doesn't, if I didn't cover everything. But I do hope that helps. This letter, the next letter is from S. Let's see. Okay, S says, in our family of divorced parents with three children, it was my youngest sister, Jay, whom I thought was our most damaged family member. I am the oldest and first noticed something wrong with my youngest sister when she came to live with me when I was 21 and she was 13. Both parents had been recently remarried. She was a troubled teenager whom the parents thought would be better off living with me, also recently married with a baby on the way. This was a disaster, ending with a slashed wrist suicide attempt about 2 years later by my sister. There have been several different types of suicide attempts by her over the years, but never any type of therapy lasting more than a few weeks. This, by this she means her living with her instead of the parents, never fazed me as wrong until 10 or 11 years ago, or 10 or 11 years later, which was in the mid-1990s, when I sought therapy to deal with my highly dysfunctional family. My therapist was astonished that my parents sent my sister to live with me. I saw her for about a year and a half. She pegged my family as very enmeshed and full of triangulation. I was taught reaction techniques to their actions and advised to go no contact, although narcissistic personality disorder was not mentioned and I had no clue about it yet. Of course, I didn't do this. But over the years, I have had limited contact of varying degrees. About 10 years ago, my youngest sister, now suffering from MS, besides being a manipulating troublemaker, was coming to live with my mother and stepfather in their house about 3 miles from me. My sister has caused lots of trouble to me, my son, my daughter, my other sister and her daughter, and many others, I am sure. The uncontrollable outbursts, cold, calm diatribes, nasty letters, simpering flattery to get something, and most of all lies, lots of lies that cause lots of problems. With this news, my mother informed me that we were to be a nice, happy family and embrace my troubled sister. My mother is very bossy, controlling, and manipulative. Growing up and as an adult, she was and is abusive and belittling to me. I was determined to not go along with this plan. I went to my mother's house and nicely said, if you want me to be part of your plan, then my youngest sister needs to have mental health treatment, and we all need family therapy because otherwise it's going to be chaotic and crazy. My mother got so mad and her face got so red, I swear I saw smoke coming out of her ears. She threw me out of the house saying, it was my fault. My sister is the way she is. My daughter, about 18 then, did try to mend things and went over with Christmas cookies a few months later. She was verbally abused by my sister while my mother blocked the door. This ended in about a 2-year period of no contact. Since then, we've had limited contact, meeting in restaurants for a few times a year and phone conversations once in a while. I do not have contact with this sister. She goes on to say that, she had read a lot about NPD but hadn't discovered my podcast or any other information about NPD. And what is she saying? Okay. Her other sister was coming into town. Her itinerary included our town towards the end of the trip. I called my mother to discuss plans for her visit. Immediately, she started bad-mouthing my sister. Don't you think it's awful the way she is planning her visit? She's coming here nearly last. Why is she staying only 5 days? Why is she seeing this one first and not seeing that one? And then there was another blow-up when this letter writer actually defended the sister. And then they didn't speak again until the sister came about 2 weeks later. So this has been very tumultuous. That is when it hit her hard that her mother was also a narcissist. She was getting the silent treatment and everything clicked. They haven't spoken. The sister arranged a weekend in the mountain with the mother, the stepfather, daughter, myself, children's sister's husband. I told my sister I didn't want to go at all, but she convinced me to go. My daughter and I drove up for late Saturday to Sunday afternoon stay. My mother was cold and standoffish to both my daughter and myself. Although my sister didn't notice, my daughter did and mentioned it to me. We haven't spoken since, my mother and I, except for a brief call from her in June when she needed some information about my father. Until yesterday, when this letter came in the mail, attached. Okay, this letter is a beaut. But before I get to the letter, let me explain something. You say that you want to show unconditional love. In the end, you say, I would like to deal with this in a way that shows unconditional love. Well, you have always shown unconditional love. There has never been a time where your love had conditions. You're not the one with the conditions. It's your mother that has the conditions. So you're only being the person that you can be. Now, what you need, and this is what I was explaining in response to the first letter, is you must have strong boundaries that let others know what will and will not be tolerated, and that you will enforce these rules. It cannot be this bouncing back and forth. Okay, mom treats me bad, I don't talk to her for 2 weeks. Then I come back, okay, she treats me bad, I don't talk to her for another week. She treats me bad another few months. No, it cannot be that way. Because if it is that way, she will continue to abuse and take control of your life. There has to be boundaries and there has to be limits established. And you have to let them know what you will and will not tolerate. Now, when you do this, the ball is then in their court. It's not in your court, it's in their court. They have to decide, do they want to have a relationship with you on these terms? And I don't really see how you can have a relationship any other way if you want to remain sane and not have stress and all the associated problems of this kind of abuse. You have to enforce what you say and what you do. You cannot flip-flop. When you do that, your mom is controlling your every move like a puppet. And you're letting her get away with that. As far as giving unconditional love, when you are suffering abuse of this type, it basically takes a saint to be able to continue to give unconditional love to these toxic people and not take anything for yourself. And the only kind of relationship that you can have with a narcissist is one in which you give all and they give nothing. That's all they want. They don't want a real relationship. She may say she loves you. She may say she wants a relationship. She doesn't. She wants her supply. She wants you back because you provide a supply. Even when you're yelling and you're complaining and you're putting her down or putting her in her place, that is a supply. You're giving her attention, and she loves it. She loves drama. She loves all of this. So in order to be able to give unconditional love in the way that you want to, you have to be able to do it and not be affected. Now, some people can do that, but it takes, and I really believe, it takes years of healing and years of support to be able to get to the place where none of your buttons are going to be pushed. The only time that you can have this relationship with your parents is if they cannot push your buttons. Now, some people will go there and they'll put up a wall, which is something you don't want to do. They'll put up the wall, they'll endure it, and then they'll go home and they'll feel drained. Well, that's not protecting yourself. That's just giving back into it. Protecting yourself means boundaries. It means that you are the primary focus, not them. That you come before them. That's not selfish. That's self-love, and it was never taught to you. When you're raised with a parent that abuses you this way, you are not taught to love yourself. You're taught to love the parent, but you're not taught to love yourself. Self-love is very important. We come into this world alone. We leave this world alone. We're all we've got. We have got to take care of ourselves. Now, in this letter, there's a couple of things I noted. Your mother makes a comment, if any of the above-mentioned people are not talking to you, it is because you have not made an effort to talk to them. Well, isn't that interesting? Does she ever make an effort? She's always the one causing trouble. I'm sure you've made an effort to talk to them. But it gets you nowhere. So why continue to do it? And this is where you get so frustrated. Your mom plays the martyr a lot in this letter. She says, you and your sister won't come over to the house because of your hate for your other sister. And then your mother says, and this is a classic line, I'm getting older and could use some help around the house or preparing a big dinner for a special occasion. That's really what this is all about, is trying to rope you back in, make you feel bad. I'm an old lady or I'm aging. I need your help, and you're not giving me what I need. And you need to give me what I need, or you're useless. She says, you know, all of you sin. I love that one. And if you want to be forgiven, then you too must forgive. Narcissists never forgive. It's interesting that she's telling you that you have to forgive those people in your life that has hurt you, when she never forgives and she never apologizes for anything that she's ever done. So this is not on you. And you are not sinning. You are only trying to protect yourself. You're only trying to be the person that you should have been from the day you were born. You were not allowed to be a whole person. She took that from you. You are not sinning. And you don't have to forgive these people who have treated you this way. You don't have to hold it against them. You can let it go. But you don't have to go back in their lives. If they've treated you horribly, that doesn't mean, forgiveness doesn't mean going back into their lives. It means forgiving in your heart so you can let it go. She says, let's see, let's get this family back together as a family unit. Remember, families are forever, and it would make me very happy if everyone got along. Sure it would, because then she keeps getting fed. But she's not going to do anything about making everyone get along. And she says, if you can't say something nice about a person, don't say anything at all. Isn't that ironic? Does she ever say nice about a person? But she certainly will say it. So this is a really, really interesting letter, and it's highly manipulative, highly manipulative. So you ask me in your letter if you should answer this, and you're saying, let me see what you say here. Okay, you say, how do I answer this letter? I feel I shouldn't bother to answer it, but then what? Is it possible to reset boundaries without a big fight? With my family, it's always a big fight that seals a new round of no contact, which softens to no contact, low contact. I would like to deal with it in a way that shows unconditional love. How do you deal with this letter? You ignore it, because there's not one thing that you can say to this letter that will be interpreted the right way. That's the first thing. They write all the letters they want. We write a letter, and it could be the most endearing letter. You could watch everything that you say. In her mind, it'll be an insult. It'll be, she's not perfect. She's done something wrong. You can't possibly word it in a way that she will not take wrong. That's just the way it is. So many of us feel like we want to write these letters because these people are so hard to communicate with. We want to put it down in writing so we can say what we want to say. It gets us nowhere, and it escalates the problem. All it does is create more anger. So this is a manipulation, and you would be responding to a manipulation if you do answer this letter. Now, I talked about, you say, is it, you know, then what? Is it possible to reset boundaries without a big fight? No, it is not. It is not. This takes, it's near superhuman endurance, really, to be able to initially do this, to be able to stand up to this person, set the boundaries, and not allow them to cross it. Your mother is not very powerful. She seems powerful. She is not very powerful. And she wants you in her life. If she doesn't, then why even try? But it seems as if she wants to try to keep everybody back together because that's going to serve her purpose. Well, if she wants it, she's got to abide by your rules. I liken this to raising little children. When they do something wrong, you have to let them know. They have to be disciplined so they won't do it again. And you have to reinforce that. And if you don't reinforce it, they will continue the same behavior over and over. Well, pathological narcissists are exactly the same way. They will continue to abuse if you do not enforce with an ironclad steel lock on it. You cannot let them get a little bit over the line. And as far as your sisters and your brothers and everything like that, it's what I told the first letter writer, M, that just you have to protect yourself. You have to have these boundaries. I'm going to move on to the next letter, but I want you to know that it's very important. I tell everyone who calls me, writes to me, everyone who I counsel, that you must have professional help by someone who understands this disorder. And I emphasize someone who understands this disorder, because not all therapists do. And like you said, you know, they may say that your family triangulates, or they do this, or they do that, but I would say most therapists do not fully understand this. I understand it. That's why I do the counseling, and I'm very effective at it. But you have to have constant validation to keep you on target, because it's a really tough thing to do. Now, it gets easier, but initially trying to establish these boundaries and not let anybody cross them is not a pretty thing. It's going to get ugly, and you've got to steel yourself for that. So I hope that I answered your questions, and if I haven't, like I said, you know, you can email me back and let me know if there's anything else you wanted me to say. Okay, and the third letter is, let's see. Okay, The third letter I got is from another M. And M says, first off, I want to thank you for your podcast on narcissistic behavior. I've listened to each one and have enjoyed them all. And M goes on to say that it's not convenient to call in, but that the information is fascinating and helpful, and that they want to submit this letter because it's not convenient to call in. And this letter is about M's mom. Back in 2007, I found out my husband was addicted to prescription painkillers. It was a time of total stress because I had no experience with drug addiction and felt totally helpless and didn't know what to do. My parents, who lived 10 minutes from us, really had no idea, even when it was getting pretty bad. I kept it from them because I knew they would be critical and I would get no support. It wasn't until my husband was going to check into rehab that I broke it to them. I will never forget my mom's reaction when I told them what was going on. She said, "What am I supposed to do now? Really? How about what I was supposed to do?" This is what Em is saying. "How about what I was supposed to do, not what you're supposed to do?" Not once in that conversation did she ever ask me if I was going to be okay, if they could help out with my kids who were 2 and 4, or if I would need anything. Away from my mom, my dad did ask if everything was okay, but that was it. As you can imagine, during those long 28 days of being at home with 2 little kids, it was pretty difficult. I was scared, but I never asked anyone for help because that's not in my nature. But there were definitely friends and family on my husband's side that were there for me. No one could imagine why my own parents weren't doing anything. You would think my mom might offer to watch the kids or ask us over for dinner, but she didn't because that would mean the attention would not be all about her. I figured that out during that time. My mom is also a hypochondriac. In fact, she becomes hyper-focused on something to the point that she becomes obsessed. She has a new ailment every day, month, and year that she obsesses over, and amazingly, everything turns out to be all in her head. She spent months focusing on a jaw problem to the point an MRI was finally ordered, but when they told her there was no medical issue, which they were telling her all along, she flipped out and was mad. She also threw a hissy fit because I was insensitive to imply it was good news her MRI didn't show any problems. Since then, I don't make any comments about any of her medical things. I reluctantly listen, but that's it. I personally think she comes up with her mystery ailments for attention. She also has at least one doctor appointment a week, and I still can't figure out why. Earlier this year, my dad had some heart issues. He had called his doctor with the symptoms, and they advised him to go straight to the ER. He had to wait for my mom to get ready, and then he drove to the hospital while my mom acted like a helpless person. So her father is the one that actually drove while he was going through this. But her mother is fully capable and should have been the one to drive. My dad had to have 2 stents put in and after was ordered to go to 2 weeks of physical therapy for his heart. My mom did not like his therapy because it cut into her dinner. Really? He's doing it for health reasons and you're mad that it disrupts dinner? Adapt. But the kicker was during all this, she decided, not her doctor, that she probably needed a stress test for her heart because she started thinking she was having heart issues. I think she was jealous. My dad was getting real medical attention and she couldn't take it. She has a doctor who coddles her, probably because he knows how she is, and eventually ordered the stress test. And guess what? She is perfectly fine. If you do try to talk about your medical issues or ailments, she immediately turns it around to her. It's really quite fascinating, but I choose not to discuss these things with her because it's exhausting, and I'm usually exhausted after dealing with her. I've set boundaries with her by not engaging and keeping contact to a minimum, despite her guilt trips about it. I've had no contact with her on a daily basis. If I had to have no contact with her on a daily basis, I would literally have no energy left. Oh, right. I'm sorry. If I had to have contact with her on a daily basis, I would literally have no energy left. I'm sorry about that. This is a live show, so sometimes I get tongue-tied. Okay, so the question is my mom a narcissist? Okay. A couple things I want to say. I cannot determine by this letter that your mother is truly a narcissist. She may have narcissistic qualities. Many people can be narcissistic, but not be pathological narcissists. And really, what one of the things that really distinguishes it is the rage that they go into if they're accused of doing anything that's not perfect, that's wrong. You can't tell them that they're wrong. They don't just get angry, they rage. Okay, so that's one of the things that can help you to determine that. But I would need to know more about this. Now, it sounds to me, and I am certainly not an expert on this, but it sounds to me like this is Munchausen syndrome, which is M-U-N-C-H-A-U-S-E-N, M-U-N-C-H-A-U-S-E-N syndrome. Munchausen syndrome is a mental disorder where the person repeatedly and deliberately acts as if he or she has a physical or mental illness because it is associated with severe emotional difficulties. Now, it sounds to me as if your mother may have this, that this might be driving it. It's very possible to have both NPD and Munchausen syndrome. That's a hard word to say, Munchausen syndrome. Okay. It is possible that she has both, but I can't really distinguish that based on this hyper-focusedness that she has on illness and running to doctors and things like that. That does sound more like this syndrome than it does sound like narcissistic personality disorder. She's clearly doing this for attention, and that's really why these people do this. Sometimes they do it with themselves. Sometimes they subject their children to this. They can send their children for tests over and over and over, like guinea pigs. But generally, it's the person who keeps thinking they have something, and they feel it to that degree. You know, it's very real to them, and they go to the hospital, and it's always nothing. And I would think if you would ask her doctor about this, he would probably tell her that that's what he thinks she has. I don't really know. I'm only guessing, and I really want you to know that. She obviously is somebody that wants attention. Now, you might want to ask yourself if she was someone who always deprived you of attention as a child, if you had to be a pleaser all the time, if some of the typical things. If you were raised to not have a boundary system, if she confused you, if she played games with your head, if she lied to you, if she manipulated you, it's more than just them saying that they have these things. They outwardly lie about things that they know are true. And so I'm not sure that your mother really, really knows whether or not this is true. I think after a while, she wants the attention so badly that she just keeps doing this. She wants it from the doctor. She wants it from the hospital. She wants it from you. She wants it from, you know, her family and her husband and all those things. No one else's health really matters. It's her health. So I would urge you to look more into the exact characteristics of the narcissistic personality disorder person, because there's some very, very classic. Let me see if I can pull them up right now. Let's see. And I'm sure if you've listened to my podcast and things, you've heard this. But let me go here and see if I can find them for you. Okay. A grandiose sense of self-importance. They think that they're superior to everyone else. It's not just about getting attention, but it's that they're better than everyone else. They are the star and the hero of everything they do. Nothing else matters except their own experiences, their problems, their emotions. Everything is the center of the world. But it's really to gain celebrity rather than to gain, in that way, to gain attention. I shouldn't say that, because it is to gain attention, but it's to gain this self-importance attention, not feel sorry for me attention. They are preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, intelligence, brilliance, ideal love, unlimited success or beauty. So they live in a false reality, and they resent anybody trying to talk them out of that reality. They are boastful and pretentious. They exaggerate their successes and their talents, and they think everybody should think they are great. They have these fantasies of grandiosity. They also believe that they are special, that they should only engage with elite people, special, rich, accomplished people. They're snobby. They see average people as worthless, lowly, subservient. It is their image, status, and beauty that is above all else. They're very attracted to wealthy people, beautiful people, successful people that they can associate with and therefore benefit them in some way. The fourth one is the excessive amount of admiration and attention. That definitely describes your mother, but I really want you to think about if these other things do. They feel entitled. They have unreasonable expectations of receiving favorable treatment and privileges. They think everyone is supposed to indulge them. This could very possibly be your mother. I don't really know. But they expect immediate compliance when they want something, and that could be her as well. Now, this is what I was talking about with the rage. They are interpersonally exploitive. No, that's explosive. Okay. They are interpersonally exploitive. They take advantage of others to further their own needs, and they don't reciprocate. So they just use people, whether it's a child, parent, sibling, coworker, or partner. It's all about what the other person can do for them, not what they can do for the other person. They lack empathy. They cannot put themselves in the shoes of other people. They can't sympathize with the emotions, feelings, and needs of others. They're impatient with others who talk about their problems. Now, that does definitely describe your mother. They are very envious. They don't like when other people have more material things or more success. They're very resentful. They think they are deserving of everything, and that if they don't have it, it's everyone else's fault that they don't, and they will do everything in their power to dampen the other person's spirit or devalue their accomplishments. And the last one is they behave arrogantly, haughtily, patronizingly, or rude to those they feel are beneath them. These people are very rude. They're not afraid to tell somebody they're fat or say it around them in earshot so they can hear it. They're contemptuous. They only treat people well if they want something from them. So these are basically the determinations of somebody that has this. Now, it's the according to the American Psychiatric Association, somebody has to have nine. Now, the diagnosis requires that the person has at least five of these personality traits. So if she has five, it's very, very possible that she is a pathological narcissist, but I can't really say that, and I hope that's really helpful to you. But anyway, we are almost out of time, so I want to thank you so much for tuning in and sharing your questions with me. We didn't have any callers today. I hope we do next time, but continue to send your letters to Randy G, loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Also, visit my website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. You can read my articles, and there's links to every single show that I do. So if you don't go to Blog Talk Radio, you can go right to my website and click on the links, and you will get right to the shows. I also have all the information about my counseling services, my privacy policies, all those things, and what I do. And there's a link that can take you right to make appointments with me. So I do hope that this was helpful to all who listen and all who wrote in, and I wish you a wonderful Friday the 13th, and thank you for listening in and tuning in to A Fine Time for Healing. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be.